Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you all here today. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. One of the parables of the Lord, a short parable. Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 21. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light." If anyone hears, has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him." Very solemn words from the mouth of the master teacher. Let's look briefly then to look to the Lord for his blessing as we contemplate on this portion. Father, we thank you for your grace to us, that your light has shone into our hearts. But Lord, if there's any that are still in darkness or are hiding that light in some way, shadowing it, not allowing it to shine forth, we would pray this morning that we, each of us, might be convicted by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your word then. So quiet our hearts and open our ears, and give us obedient hearts of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As a teacher, the Lord Jesus often spoke in parables. And he was asked by his disciples why he did. Verse 10 of the same chapter. "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable," that is, the first parable that he gave, which was the parable of the seed. The parable there is very simple, and he gives an explanation for it. It's well known to us. There was one set of seed that landed on a pathway, and the birds came down and plucked them off. And he explained the birds were the evil one. The seed is the good word of God. And when it lands on the pathway where people's feet trample, that speaks of the world with its with its overlooking, as it were, the simplicity of the Word of God. It tramples it down. There's so many other things that people's minds are put to that they don't consider the seed, that living seed that's placed on that, the dead earth of the world. Then there was seed that fell upon some rocky ground, probably had a little bit of cover. The rain came, the sun shone, and the right conditions were for that seed to sprout forth, the latent life, to give it impetus, to give it movement out. But there was no depth of earth. He said, he explains and says, that's like people that hear the word and immediately, wow, that's good. Your God loves me. And so much that he died? Yes. Oh, I'm gonna add Jesus to my life. I'm not gonna change, but I'm gonna add him to my. But when persecutions come, which they will, there's no depth of earth. When the persecutions come, he says, it's like the sun that radiates down and dries up the little bit of soil that's there, and that little life that has sprouted does not find anything there to feed it, and it dies. He said also there's seed that falls among the thorns and thistles, unprepared ground. That's already grown up with the cares and the anxieties and the troubles and the problems of life. And the seed falls in there and it kind of sprouts up a little bit, but there's person is overwhelmed by their problems and everything else, and it never ever comes to fruition. But then the seed falls into good ground, prepared ground, that is deep ground. Ground that has been prepared by the Spirit of God, where a person's convicted of their sin and the need of something, of a Savior. And the seed falls there, and the person sees their need is met in the person of the Lord Jesus. And they are born again. There's life that is coming. So this first parable is, it demonstrates the effect of the Word of God on the hearers. But in this parable that we're going to look at today, we see that it outlines the responsibility of those who do hear. The Lord is a master teacher. But why did he speak in parables? In verse 11, he says, and he said to them, to you, his disciples, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Then he quotes an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. So that, verse 12, seeing they may see and not perceive. Person sees something, but they don't understand what they're looking at. They can't relate it to anything. Because, sort of like the seed that fell among the thorns, they were too occupied with other things. Seeing that you may see but not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now, when we read that, it would almost seem as though God was choosing some and more or less tantalizing others and refusing to give them the knowledge. But that's not so. That's not what this means. Turn with me to Isaiah, who quoted it, and the context there in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had been sent to the nation of Israel, a prophet from God, to turn the people back, the first portion of the book of Isaiah, of his message, was that God is going to send judgment because of their sin. The second half of his book, he speaks of the Savior who would come. And he speaks of the Messiah in no uncertain terms that he would come. But would the nation turn? No, they would not. Because only a few years later, 100 years later or so, a couple of generations, the Babylonians would come down, the Assyrians first, would take away Israel, the northern kingdom. Later, the Babylonians would come down and sweep away the remnant of Judah because they would not hear. God foresaw that. He even told Isaiah when he commissioned him to preach that his message would not be heard, except for some. Because if you search the book of Isaiah, you'll find that there's always mentioned a little remnant. A few that the Lord has that still believe in him and trust in him. And so the message of Isaiah, much of it, was understood by a few, believed by a few, and comforted those that heard and believed. So he says in chapter 6, I heard, verse 8, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us as a messenger? And Isaiah said, now cleansed, he has a cleansed mouth from the fire from the altar that the seraphim had brought. He's a man that can now bring the proper message to the nation. And he says, here am I, send me. And so what the message was, Isaiah, here's the outline of your message, verse 9. Also I heard the voice, and he said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. This was an unrepentant people. In other words, the more light that Isaiah, who had been commissioned from the very throne of God, that light that he would then impart to the nation, that they would refuse, they would be moved into further darkness. And that was what our parable here is talking about. That's why he spoke in parables. People in Jesus' day, they saw a greater than Isaiah. Isaiah never performed any miracles. The Lord Jesus did day after day. And there are crowds of people that came to see those miracles. And they heard his teaching. But they were only interested in the bread that he provided. And the spectacle of miracles. Lame men walking. Wonder what he's going to do today. Let's go find out. They did not hear what he was saying. If they didn't understand and they wanted more, more would be given to them. That's the lesson that we have today. Don't refuse his voice, because he'll make you dull if you refuse to hear what he has to say. Back then to Mark and our portion. Mark chapter 4. He said in verse 21, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket? A light. What does a light represent? Well, of course, it's the revelation of God. It's what God reveals of himself. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Lord Jesus, when he came, John the Baptist confessed, he said that was the true light that enlightens every man, or that was the true light in coming into the world, enlightens every man. I was recently talking to a woman, and she was saying, oh, you know, there's all kinds of religion. I think a little bit of everything is true. She had gone to Sunday school, attended young people's at 16th Avenue years ago. She's very sick and almost died a month ago. She just got out of the hospital and survived, and she called me. Or I called her because I understood that she wanted to speak to me. But she had this idea that there was light from everywhere. There's only one Lord Jesus Christ. He enlightens everything. When he came into the world, that life that was lived was unique. It was different from every other life. What he spoke was different from every other teacher, every other prophet, every other philosopher, every other wise man. There were none that spoke like him. The life that he lived was a life that was absolutely flawless and perfect. Everybody believes that. And it was a life that was under a spotlight. We have history that records those details. Whereas all the other teachers and so on of history, so little is known about them. We don't even know if Buddha actually lived or whether he was just a mythological creation. Muhammad, a bloodthirsty murderer, an adulterer. Other things you could say about these men, but the Lord Jesus, the life that he lived was a life of absolute purity and perfection. And no one can deny the fact that when he came into the world, he was the light of the world. And that life that was lived, in one sense, has brought light to everyone. Even people that have never heard of the name of Jesus, they still have the light of God from heaven. The stars declare, the heavens declare the glory of God. And if a man wants to find out more about God's revelation, it will eventually lead him to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what culture, what language, what era you lived in. If you want to follow the light, it will lead you to the one who is the light of the world. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Another thing about light is that he connects it in that verse, and it is life. Without light, there is no life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we read, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as God created light on that first day, so he creates life in the heart of the believer when they look on him who is the light of the world, the life himself, and they are become born again. That's real life. Now go back to Mark, and we want to look at this parable a little bit more closely. Because This outlines the responsibility that we have, this parable outlines the responsibility that we have for us who hear the word of God. That's how God speaks to us through his word. Is a lamb brought to be put under a basket? That's the first question he asks. A basket there is a bushel basket. A bushel basket was a dry measure. It was a commercial measure. Everyone who was a merchant, or if you went to buy something at the market, you know what a bushel basket was. It was a measurement. It speaks to us. The Lord uses this in the parable as our occupations, our business, what we are occupied with during the day, our school, whatever it might be. Whatever occupies us naturally in this world that is necessary for us to function. But it should not take precedence over God's word itself, God himself. If you let the things of this world overcome the light, that's like putting a basket over a light. A light is not meant to be hidden by those things. A light is what? It's used, he says, to be put on a lampstand so that it gives light to everybody in the house, can illuminate things. If you are born again of the Spirit of God, you have the light of life. It just needs to radiate out. That's the only responsibility you have, is not to cover it. You can't create the light. You can't make it brighter. You just let it shine. It's whatever we do to obscure that light. It's not something we pump up within us to shine brighter and brighter. It's not like one of those old gas lamps that we used to, you have to pump it up every once in a while because the pressure in the reservoir needed to be a certain pressure in order for the light to shine. When it started to dim down, you pressured up. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lamp which has got a source, which is the oil, the Holy Spirit. It's got a wick, which is you and me. And the light, the heat, comes from God himself. And what does a lamp do but just uses up the oil through the wick? Can you make it better? Just by trimming it once in a while, cutting off the dead stuff, the burnt up that is hindering the flow of the oil. But we don't put a basket over top. We don't cover it by the things that we are occupied in this life. And he also says, nor do people put it under a bed. What does a bed speak of? Well, I hope all of you got 8 hours sleep last night, or 7 hours, whatever you need. And we all need sleep. But doesn't a bed speak of ease too? Unnecessary ease? Pleasure, those selfish desires, self-indulgence. When we know we should be doing something for the Lord, we allow these pleasures to interfere rather than to be busy in the things of our Lord. He goes on and says to them there in verse 22, don't think that you can hide these things. There is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Everything is open to him whose eyes are all seeing. Every thought, every action, every deed, everything we have done in life is going to be reviewed. If you're a Christian, it's going to be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll get a reward. You get more. Or you'll suffer loss. But it's going to be revealed on that day. If you are not a believer, there's going to come a day when they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. When the resurrected dead are going to be pulled from the sea and the soil and from the air and from wherever their dust is, and they're going to be resurrected and they're going to stand before the judgment of God. One whose eyes are like a flame of fire, who can penetrate into the very soul of man, who knows everything. You know, the books, there's a record of everything. The books are going to be opened. Oh yes, there's that deed that happened on such and such. On such and such a day. Guilty. The verdict universally on that day when the dead, those that have never trusted Christ, that have no life within them, the dead are going to stand before him, and the universal verdict will be guilty. Depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting fire. The day will declare it. It's impossible to permanently hide the truth. One way or another, either your sins are forgiven and your deeds are going to be judged and you get a reward if you're a believer, or you're going to find yourself righteously judged and placed into the lake of fire. But he also says there in verse 22, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to the light. Thinking of Adam and Eve late recently specifically, you know, they in the Garden of Eden, after they had sinned, they saw that they were naked. They thought, well, we ought to cover our nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together. One of my walks, I went past a fig tree this spring, and I plucked a big fig tree. Some of those fig leaves are quite big, and they're quite a substantial leaf. Of all leaves, it's one of the most toughest and thickest and largest of the leaves. So I plucked it off and took it home. I wanted to see a little experiment, see how long it would last. Well, the next day it was shriveling up. And in 3 days, it was completely crumbling to dust. That didn't last very long, did it, that cover up? You know, that's the fig leaves of our religion, our lies, our thoughts, our trying to get rid of any reality, as people try to escape from reality using drugs or whatever means they might do. But there's something, it's always going to be revealed, everything. The light will reveal it. He goes on in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears to hear, it comes in, it's got to come into your mind, and there a decision has to be made. You can deflect it, forget about it, deny it, or you can let that word penetrate into your soul. That's what he's talking. If anyone had ears to hear, well, there's everybody has ears to hear, except for a few that are deaf, and then there's other means, but everybody has ears. Let's say that everybody has ears to hear, but the Lord says, let him hear with the ears of his heart. It's interesting, too, that the last word that the Lord Jesus gives to the churches in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, that each church, after he gives an assessment of their condition, he says, if any man has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, seven times over, that's repeated. Verse 24, he says, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. Now it's the measurement. For, he says, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. That is, how much you hear, or how much light has been given, so much more light will be given if you receive it. How you hear it. Now, I would guess that everyone here today, perhaps with the exception of maybe one or two, maybe I'm wrong there, but every one of you has opened your heart and you're receiving the word. This is anyone that is here, and I can't understand why, but you're refusing to hear God's word. Somehow you've been brought here, or you've come in some way to understand what this is about, or try to understand it with your mind. But I'm going to assume that you all want to hear. So be careful what you do here. Because if you hear and you obey what you hear, more will be given to you. That's the secret of the parables. Hearing, they will not hear because they refuse to hear. Seeing, they will not see because they refuse to understand. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, the Spirit of God says in the book of Hebrews. Don't harden your heart. Because if you receive today what the Spirit has to say to you, even more is going to be given. God is a generous God, but he gives by faith. Verse 25, our last verse, for whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. I met someone who used to attend 16 years ago. It's not the same woman, it's another person. Took part for many years, who turned away, it seemed, I'm not sure why. I'm praying that the Lord will restore that person. But now, after many years, they've forgotten. They can hardly remember the things of the scriptures. It's like it's evaporated from their minds. The voice doesn't speak loudly to them anymore. What they did have was taken away. Now, it can happen to a Christian. If you don't progress, you're going to go backwards. There's no such thing as a neutral place for the Christian. Either you're growing or you're dying or you're fading. That's a principle of life. So failure to respond then to the light is going to result in a loss of what we had previously gained. But if we receive it, more will be given. I'd just like to finish with an old, old statement. I don't know how many years ago this statement was made. Probably a few hundred years ago when it was first quoted by some old believer. Because the English is still Elizabethan English, New King James Bible English. And I think you'll be able to understand it as I quote it. It goes like this, a little couplet. Light received bringeth light. Light rejected bringeth night. You get it? Receiving light brings more light. Rejecting light brings night. Think of Judas as an unbeliever. But even Christians can be affected that way and can suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we want to thank you again for your grace to us, that you have spoken in these last days by your Son. May we heed him and his voice. May we, Lord, let our light shine. Let nothing hinder the light that you have given to us, so that we may glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.